Good morning. My name is Tim Arrington, and I'm privileged to serve as a pastor here at Christ Community Church. It's good that you're here today. It's good to be with you as we honor and remember our dear brother in Christ, John Victor Hansen. I also want to thank each of you for being here today for this celebration of John's life, and I know his family is grateful for your outpouring of love and support in their time of loss. It's understandable that memorials and funerals can be difficult for many of us. They often bring a sense of finality that can be overwhelming. But I remind you today of these two very important things. Our God is here. He is with us now to offer both comfort and peace in this time of deep sorrow. And I encourage you to lean on him and draw upon his everlasting strength. In addition, I ask that in the weeks and months to come, as you grieve, that you will offer comfort to one another in love. But secondly, I also remind you that as difficult as this day is, we as believers have the promised hope of eternal life in heaven with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we can take comfort in that great promise and rejoice together today because John is experiencing that promise fulfilled. For at this very moment, he stands in the glorious presence of God the Father. So as we begin our time together today, in the celebration of the life and memory of John, I would ask you just to bow your heads and pray with me. Father in heaven, it is indeed a good day. A day that we have come to glorify and honor your name and also celebrate the life of John Victor Hansen. We thank you for John. I thank you for this family. Lord, as we gather today, would you be in our midst? Would you guide our thoughts and our conversations as we remember John? We give thanks again to you for this day. I ask also, Lord, that you would just extend your grace and comfort to John's family as they grieve. Father, they need you now. Would you comfort them? And again, we give you this day and all the things that will take place here today. And we ask your blessings upon us. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
I could probably do without it. But anyways, good afternoon. My name is Tanya, and I'm a first cousin of John. I don't have any tears for him because everything was awesome with him. I got to reconnect as an adult with him in my 40s. He was always older than me, just always. What? A teenager when I was born? I don't know. But I want to share a trip. My sister and I took up to Utah. We went and saw John and Lizzie, stayed a couple nights. And he said, let's go cross-country skiing. Okay, sure. Okay, I got all garbed up. My sister stayed at the house, and we go cross-country skiing, and I'm thinking, okay, he's older. They're older than me. I can keep up. Well, a few times they had to wait for me. I blamed it on the altitude. Okay, it was cold. I came from Yuma, so it was the altitude. And he looked at me and he goes, what is wrong with you? You're acting like a 50-year-old. I was in my 40s. So, you know, he was always funny. I think John had a great sense of humor. He was stubborn, but he was funny. I am so happy to know that he and Leslie found Christ. I'm so humbled about that. I'm so happy about that. And that's where I may cry because God bless you all. They have a church family. They've got you all. Family. Gosh, people I won't know except by the name of cousin. I won't remember names. we've been blessed. My husband and I, we got to know them quite well. They would stop by our house in Phoenix and stay a couple nights, and then we'd come down here and visit them with our dogs. And he was just a really good guy. I've always known to be off and about. He was never around. He was, you know, living his life. And I did reconnect also up in Utah. My dad went to school with John up at Utah State University. And after I graduated high school, that's where I wanted to go. And that's when he had, like, three kids all of a sudden. He was, like, an adult and had a family. And then we kind of separated all our lives, just went our separate ways. But it was really good, this latter part, the last 15 years, I would say, that was really nice, really comfortable, and got to know Leslie a lot more. So... there was something I said to John while he was in the hospital, and it's something my grandmother had taught us, and it's like a prayer, and I don't know, oh gosh, it's like a prayer, but as a child, I didn't know if it was the opening of a prayer or a closing of a prayer, and it's in Russian, and as a child, I may not even enunciate it correctly, but... It goes, Ima Asa, Sina Sitova, Duha Amin. And as I got older, I think it's in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, Amen, something like that. And I did get down to his ear, and I said this prayer to him. And, you know, it's just a moment I could share with him, because it was something I'm sure my grandmother had taught us all, this little prayer. So, and she also led me to Christ through Billy Graham when I was 12 years old. So we were Christian, and I am so happy that he has such a great following, great group of people here. He was a heck of a storyteller. He could really get you going. He went a little too fast for me, for us, but it's not in our plan. It's all in his plan, and that's how we go. So, thank you for being here. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for everybody for coming. I'm probably going to cry. I'm Wendy. This is Heidi.
Hi.
So I wrote a few things down, and then I didn't want to talk about any of them, and then I wanted to talk about them. I think for everybody, their dad is a great man. He's a great person, but for us, he was a giant. He was an amazing man. I can say he was like a grizzly bear. If you know my dad, you would know he had some serious claws, and he could definitely put up a good fight, and he was always right. That's just the way he was. But also with that being said, he could give the best hugs, and he was always there. He is and always will be our biggest supporter. He loved us, I think, so deeply that his loss has been really hard for us. You want to call him and you can't. You want to talk to him and you can't. And there's a whole bunch of cans that I've gone through. But with that being said, there's a whole lot of cans on the other side that he taught us so many lessons. And even as adults, it was really hard for him to understand. He couldn't parent his children. And he still parented, and he still taught us lessons. And he did for us. Like, there was never a time in my life that I would be... I mean, you grow up and you're on your own, and you're independent, and you want to be on your own. No matter what, my dad would help me if I needed help. He always, always, whether it was emotional, financial, just anything, he was always there. I could be lost on the side of the road. And it happened somewhere in southern Utah. I was stranded. I had actually called my boyfriend. He was like, figure it out. I called my dad, and my dad got me a tow truck, a hotel, and took care of me. He totally took care of me. He just took care of me, yes.
Okay, so we have a story.
We have many stories.
Well, I know. We have one story that we're going to tell. So we were like, I think I was six. And I think I was six.
Oh, yes,
and Wendy was eight. And we went on like a backpacking trip with my dad. It seemed like 10, 20 miles. It's probably 10.
It was a good hiking trip into the Uintas. Like, it was a huge trip. And for kids, I mean, we were young. I think we hiked 6 miles in. We did.
So we went to a lake. We got there. Oh, on the way.
Yeah.
It was tiring. So a bunch of people passed us, and we were like, this isn't fair. So we're like, let's pretend that we have motorcycles. So we just, like, play like we had a motorcycle and just zoom up the hill running, you know. Yeah, we had horses and, you know, trot like horse. But eventually, we got there eventually. So once we got there, we're like, okay, what's for dinner? And he's like, oh, you know, you got to catch a fish. So we had to catch a fish for dinner. They were like, where do we sleep? And he's like, under the stars. We're just like, what?
On the ground?
Yeah. He's like, well, pile up some pine needles in a big pile. And we're like, well, they're going to poke us. He's like, no, they won't poke you. So we got our pine needles in a pile.
Push them all together.
And between some trees, it's really gorgeous. Slept under the stars, and they didn't poke us. It was like a mattress, I guess. Nature's mattress.
Well, and all of our camping trips with my dad were like that. We camped under the stars up until I think we were old enough to buy our own tents, but we didn't sleep. And camping with his was very simple. You took your backpack and one backpack and toothbrush, and yeah, you caught what you needed to eat and whatever. There's a few other things in there, but yeah. My dad was all about adventures. He was like the Indiana Jones in our life. He went all over the world. He traveled and did things and saw things, met people. I mean, with our mom being from Mexico, he had this absolute love of just the Latin world in general, and that was a huge, I think, just amazing thing for him to go around and go to travel like that. I know we can share more stories. We have so many stories to go into. I do know that...
Those are true, though.
So that was the thing, too. There are stories my dad would tell us that even as an adult, I went to go research them, and he was like, oh, no, I made that up. And I'm like, okay.
It was so convincing.
Thinking this is the murder house, like whatever it was, some crazy story. But that's the thing, too. Like, the love of stories, like, we would lay in bed with him, and he'd tell us stories about Br'er Rabbit, The Hobbit. Like, and he would be animated. He had these amazing ways of doing voices and just, like, even to our grandchildren, he still told stories. We have the raspberries. Remember the raspberry book? That was a huge Leslie and Dad from the Florida. That was the Florida. Anyways, huge things there. But that was, I think that's the hard thing, is still accepting that he's not here to keep on going. But that goes back to Cairns, where we can relive the memories. We can share that with our kids. We can continue his legacy and just living the way he wanted us to live. And I will say, he was a big man. And the thing, too, Jesus was through him. Like, we knew Jesus through my dad. Like, no matter where his journey was, because we've all had our journeys there, long journeys. But it's a good thing to know that Dad's in heaven. And I really love the comfort I find in that and just the ability of just making that security and just feeling better about that.
He's there. Watching.
So, thank you guys for coming.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Leslie. I was married to John, and this celebration is for him today. So, at one of our class reunions, I looked across the room. And I said to my friend Lynette, who is that good-looking guy? And she said, well, that's John Hansen. And I said, oh, wow, he's improved with age. And I mean, you know, you can see the yearbooks that we'll have over on the memory table. He looked a lot different. I mean, we all did. We all looked a lot different in high school. But he turned out to be quite a handsome man, which reminded me of another story. A gal said to me, I think we were in Orlando, And she said, what do you and John call each other? And I said, we call each other usually by our last name. So he's always saying Crane, and I'm always saying Hansen. And she said, oh, I always thought you said handsome. And, and I said, yeah, he was that too. So John and I, our life together started in Florida. And I gotta share some Florida stories. So we had an awesome couple that we were very good friends with. They were a black couple, Jeff and Cimarron, and unfortunately they couldn't come today. So Jeff invited us to a football game. It was between Florida A&M, which was FAMU, they're a school out of Tallahassee, versus Bethune-Cookman, who is a school, a university out of Daytona Beach. So they're flagship black schools. Okay, so this is a football game, you know, like, you know, Utah and Utah State or Arizona and Arizona State. This is a really big rivalry. It was held at the Citrus Bowl in Orlando, which seats 65,000 people. So we went to the tailgate. We're having fun. We're looking around, enjoying it. And John said to Jeff, he said, Jeffy, are Leslie and I the only white folks here? And Jeff said, no, there's a couple vendors that are white. Oh my gosh, there was so much color in that stadium. I mean, it was amazing. So seriously, you know, we're kind of a homogenous group here, but in with Jeff and his wife, Cimarron, and we went to family parties with them. I remember going to Cimarron's 50th birthday, you know, other birthday parties. It seemed like John and I were always kind of the token white couple. So, but they were lovely people. Oh my gosh. And when I called Jeff to tell him that John had died, and he cried, and he said, Leslie, he's like my brother. And I said, I know, Jeff, I'm so sorry. But they were just amazing, and there was so much love, and you know, that went back and forth between he and John. One time, John and Jeff and I went on a fishing charter. So we're out on the Atlantic Ocean. No, since Florida on a summer day, we're hot, and I don't even remember if we caught a fish. I'm sure we did, but we'd been out there for hours, and we finally got back to the vehicles and into the coolers, and the guys are pawing through the cooler looking for, you know, a beverage, and Jeff brings his little can up, and he says, what the hell is this? And I said, well, that's the beer. So I had found these little 4-ounce cans of beer. And I just thought, those were so cute. I've never seen them since. I thought those guys were going to shoot me. I really did. And they never, ever asked me to buy beer again. So, you know, other good friends and good times in Orlando. Tim is here from Orlando. He and Lydia moved across the street from us. So, and after John and I moved out west to Utah, we'd go back to Orlando, and we'd always look up Tim and Lydia, and they'd come out to Park City. They came out January of last year, and we took them to the Tucson Jazz Festival. So really good friends, good people. Also, Ron and Joanne, we met them in Orlando. Ron and John worked together at Lockheed Martin. And they also became dive partners. So we'd go down to the Keys. We'd go on dive trips. I mean, I was never a diver. I was a snorkeler. But Ron and John, they were always the divers. And one trip, we went down to Loreto, Mexico, where we were able to go out and swim with the whale sharks. So just some of these experiences that we had in Florida were amazing. So you're out there on the dive boat, and they've got the airplane circling around. So he's looking for the sharks. So he comes back and lets the boat captain know where the sharks are, where the whale sharks are. And so the boat goes over, and then all the snorkelers and scuba divers get off into the water, and you actually swim with the whale shark. Well, a whale shark is about the size of a school bus. So when you're out there next to them, and you know, they go along really slow like that. I mean, they look like they're going slow, but you can't. You know, we don't swim that fast. We can't keep up with them. So that was another amazing experience. John and I found out how much we loved kayaking in Florida. We were fortunate. One of the local schools would have kayaks there on the weekend that you could demo and try out, practice. And we thought, okay, we want to be kayakers. So we found a kayak shop in Vero Beach, drove down, I think it was the 23rd of December, and we kept that storekeeper there till about an hour after closing, and we got our kayaks, and we got our carbon paddles, and we got our PFDs, and we got our kayak rack that went on top of the Explorer, so we were set. These are ocean kayaks. They're 16 and a half feet long. John's was a sit-in. Mine was a sit-on-top. And you think of Florida, you know, you think, oh, yeah, there's a lot of water there. Yeah, well, there's an ocean on one side and a bay on the other side. But there's so much water in Florida. There's so many lakes and streams and just amazing places to kayak. We were able to hook up with a kayaking club out of New Smyrna Beach, which is on the Atlantic side. And we just had some amazing times. And you got to remember that Florida's relatively flat. So the rivers there, when you're kayaking, you can paddle upstream, you can paddle downstream. It doesn't matter because there's no elevation change. So it's a little different out west. So when we moved out to Utah and we brought those 16 and a half foot long kayaks, we'd go down the Provo River just once. It was quite an experience. We went down the Snake River, and you know Randy can tell you about that experience. But we spent a lot of time kayaking on Bear Lake, and that was all good. I did want to say one thing before I left Florida. I had both hips replaced in 2004. My hospital mate in that room, her name was Peggy. We had the same surgeon, we had the same hip replaced, we had the same birthday, except I was 2 years older. So she and John and I became fast friends and kayaking friends. One day we were kayaking over on the Atlantic side in the intercoastal, and we're just going along, it's really nice and slow, and all of a sudden there's all this splashing and she's screaming and the kayak's in the air, and we're thinking, oh my gosh, did a gator get her? And no, she had kayaked up on the back of a manatee. I mean, you know, you just don't have those experiences in Utah. So it's just, I mean, those years in Florida were just amazing. You know, but we came back to Utah and moved to Provo, moved to build a house in Park City. I've got lots of Utah friends. Mike and Deb are here from Ogden. John and I got married in their backyard in Ogden in 2002. And they've been amazing friends. We've done lots of camping, lots of trips to Mexico, out to the Oregon coast. One trip to Mexico was quite memorable. So we had been in Puerto Vallarta for a week. We were supposed to fly out. It was March 18th, 2020. Deb was sick, and we were kind of all hanging around the motel room. It was that morning we were supposed to catch a flight, I think at about 3. Well, that morning, there was an earthquake in Salt Lake City. And the airport was closed for a while. So we hung around the Airbnb for a little bit more, and we kept calling the airport and know that flights were delayed and flights were delayed and flights were delayed. So I think we finally got out, I don't know, like maybe 5 or 6, and the stewardess, or flight attendant, okay, was trying to hurry everybody on the plane. You know, let's get going. And I said, what's the hurry? And she said, customs closes at midnight. And I said, so what if we get there after midnight? I said, what happened? She says, I don't know. It's never happened before. So we finally did. We landed at 11:30 and got back into Salt Lake, which was interesting. Some other great Utah friends, Tim and Holly. So they've been out to Florida. Holly and I sold tickets together at Canyon's ski resort in Utah. So we skied together, had meals together, played together, and we also traveled in Italy for 2 weeks together in 2019. So just, you know, really, really great friends. I know some of you that just have known us since we've only been in Tucson since 2021. You know John from a church group. And there's others of you that know John a little different from like 30 and 40 years ago. So some other friends that are here from Redmond, Washington, Doug and Shirlene, they actually met John at Utah State in the 70s. So, you know, you try and get around and talk to different people and hear some of these different stories. And when we do get over to where we're having lunch, I've got name tags and Sharpies. So, you know, grab a name tag and just put your name on there so that you know who you're talking to, because John is the common denominator here. And, you know, a lot of you don't know each other, and it would be fun to visit with people that you don't know, because they all know John from different parts of that life, that wonderful, amazing life that he led. So I was so appreciative of all the people that came from out of town and made the effort to get here, and also very appreciative of our people that we've met here in Tucson and the outpouring of love and support that we have received from them. So, you know, get out and visit with each other. Everybody's invited over to lunch after, and I thank you all for being here. All right.
I believe we have a photo tribute to enjoy right now.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when strife sees my comforter, my all in all. Here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. His body lay, love. the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood.
Now it's working. All right. Thanks, Patrick. I'm going to turn this guy on. You know, when I became a, well, first of all, don't you just love those pictures? Every time I go to a memorial, and I get to do lots of them, being a pastor, you wouldn't know, I always enjoy the photos. You know, even if you know the person really well, you find out a lot more by seeing the family images and those images from them in their younger years, the things they were involved in, the people they hung out with, the things that they did. So I especially love the black and white ones. Yeah. You know, when I became a pastor here at Christ Community Church 26 years ago, I was blessed early on with the opportunity to work with, I'll use the gentle term, more seasoned family members of our church, right? Our senior adults ministry. And through the past 2.5 decades, I tell you, we have learned so much together through our times together studying the Word and Bible study, but I've also learned so much from them. I can't tell you how many times I've heard one of them come to me, you know, just in passing and talking and say, you know, Tim, I am ready to go home to be with Jesus. I am ready to go home whenever he calls me. And when I heard that, I thought I understood what they meant 25 years ago. I thought that perhaps they were just growing a little weary, right, a little tired of life's many burdens and struggles, and that they had been carrying, and they were ready to put those down, right? But now that I'm a little older, and I've lost a lot of my senior adult ministry folks through the years, and I've lost my own loved ones and good friends, well, I believe I have a much fuller understanding of what they were feeling and what they were saying to me. You see, it wasn't that they had just grown tired of this world, tired of the way the world has changed around us, although it has, and that's true, and that is wearying, but it's more like what we learn about in the biblical account of Job. Like Job, they actually began to yearn, to strongly desire to be in the presence of the Lord. There's this yearning that happens as we grow older and wiser, and with that age and wisdom, we begin to see more clearly that the hope that hope that God has given us through the work of Christ Jesus on the cross. And in other words, the more time a believer spends with Jesus and in the Word, the greater his or her desire becomes to join him in heaven. Philippians 1:21, the Apostle Paul said some very interesting words. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Sort of confusing. What? Living is Christ and dying is gain? Paul, you see, Paul viewed his life or his death as a win-win. Simplest way to put it. It was a win-win for Paul. He was perfectly content to go on serving Jesus here on earth for as long as God would have him. But he was also perfectly content with dying. And he was getting older and he knew dying was going to happen. And he was perfectly content with that, if that was God's desire. Either way, he was going to be with Jesus. So if you're a believer and you have lost a loved one, whether it be a spouse or family member or dear friend who is also a believer, well, then you understand in a very real way that a piece of you is already in heaven, right? It's another reason not only to see our Lord, but another reason that we look forward to one day claiming that hope of salvation for ourselves is that we get to see our lost and long loved ones. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 57, "The righteous man perishes and no one lays it to heart. Devout men are taken away while no one understands. For the righteous man is taken away from calamity." He's taken away from calamity. He enters into peace. And what Isaiah is saying here is that there's no tragedy in being ushered from this life into the next when the next life is going to be spent in the presence of God. Amen? There's no tragedy there. Right? There's nothing to fear in that. And additionally, Isaiah is saying that God is actually protecting the believer from any further suffering here on earth. He's taken away from calamity. So with that knowledge, we can be even at more peace with that individual's passing. You know, we are granted peace with God through faith, as Paul writes also in Romans 5. He wrote, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." As believers in Christ, we are given access by faith to a direct relationship with God, and we are able to rejoice in the hope of his glory. The hope that Paul is speaking there about is this promised inheritance, this eternal life that we get to live as believers in the presence of Jesus. Paul knew this hope, and he knew this hope was not in vain. You know, we think of the word hope as if I hope I get something really nice for my birthday. I hope the weather is good tomorrow. No, the hope that Paul is speaking of is just a realized promise. This promise that is made, and God makes a promise, you know it's going to come true. It's a sure thing. He goes on to say in Romans 5 that we can even rejoice in our tribulations and our sufferings right here and now. We can rejoice in them here and now. How? How can we do this? Well, we can rejoice because even our most difficult events, life events, take on new purpose and meaning when we know that God is in control and perhaps allowing those difficulties to come into our lives. Our God is sovereign, and he sovereignly controls all things. We need only keep our eyes on him and trust in him for his guidance and provision. We needn't worry. God will indeed guide us and provide according to his perfect will. In fact, Jesus himself speaks to this very idea of not worrying about our future, because God has a plan for those who believe in him. John chapter 14, very famously, Jesus spoke to his disciples directly, and he said those famous words, "Let not your hearts be troubled." John 14, verse 1. "Believe in God, believe also in me. In my house, in my Father's house, are many rooms. And if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Now, one of his disciples, Thomas, interjected and paused and said, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." In one very powerful sentence, Jesus tells us the way, the only way. I'll say that again. The only way to eternal life in heaven. He says, believe in me and follow me. Jesus is clearly saying that as believers, our future has already been planned. And again, God has it all under control. We don't need to fear the passing of our believing loved ones. We don't need to fear our own death. For those who have trusted in Christ for salvation, everything is planned down to the last detail, even where, apparently, by what Jesus said, even where we will stay in heaven. He's preparing it. Why is this important? Well, you see, John Hansen made this very important decision, some 13 years ago, putting his faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And that's wonderful news. That is wonderful news because John believed and trusted in Jesus as his Lord. We can celebrate today because on the 6th of January, John stepped from this mortal world into the very presence of Jesus. And the fact that John was born into this world at just the right time, to live when he did, to marry and have three wonderful children, to later marry and meet and marry Leslie, and then to become a follower of Christ, all of that, there's no accident. No accident. And neither was John's passing. All the years of John's life, even and until now, have been under the watchful care of God. And your collective memories of John are a precious gift. I pray that those same memories will be a spark to love and support for one another as you go forward from this place today. My friends, John claimed God's glorious promise of a new life, a life free from tears and pain, the tears and pain of this world, a life of eternal joy in God's presence and with a body that will never fail, will never grow old, and a life that is full of purpose and significance. So I encourage each of us here today, if you've not already done so, I just want you to reflect on the same truths that John came to realize and claim those truths as your own. You know, Moses wrote in Psalm 90 some very poignant words I try to think of every day. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. You probably don't have as many as you think you do. That's what he was saying. Because life is short. Death is sure, and the time is now to receive this precious gift of salvation that's offered only through faith in Christ Jesus. John received that promise, and he's living it today. Would you pray with me? Father God, again, we are so blessed to be here. Blessed to be here in your presence, blessed by your holy word and the assurances of your promises in your word. Father, you've received our brother John. May your loving arms embrace him and hold him dear. But Lord, here I pray that you will be very present in a personal way with John's family and pour over them, Lord, your peace and your strength. Father, I pray that the memories of John and his impact on the lives that are represented here in this room today, would those memories knit the hearts of both friend and family member together. We pray all of this, Lord, in the name and power of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, on behalf of John's family, I want to thank you for being here today. In a moment, I would like to dismiss us with a benediction. But first, I want you to let you know, I think Leslie kind of hinted to it as well, there is lunch provided for you today, and nobody is to escape without coming over and enjoying it. So in a moment, after the benediction, I'm going to invite the family to leave first, okay, and then just walk right out those middle doors and across over to the Family Life Center. It's toward that east parking lot. You can't miss the copper-covered entryway into that building. So you're all invited to go and partake of this lunch. And now if you'll stand, I will close us with these words from 2 Corinthians 13:14. It simply says, friends, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you again for being here. God bless you as you go. You all know where you're going, right? Because you're leading the way. Hey, thank you. Thank you so much for all your help. Appreciate it.
I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine.
I can make sure this can burn off our fire. You don't have to worry.
Surround.